Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you this morning?
I am doing stupendous. I mean, allergies and everything, and I'm still rocking it. So
that's wonderful. I had bad allergies last night. I just want to make a sad announcement this morning. I'm going to say this very slowly, so if you need to get a pen and paper, you can write it down. So it's with great sadness that we're announcing that Joni McCubbin, Tom McCubbin's wife of 47 years and co-host of Better Lawns and Gardens for 35 years, passed away peacefully on March 8th. And I just know there's a lot of you out there that would like to send your condolences. If you'd like to send a card to Tom McCubbin, please send it to Tom McCubbin, care of Better Lawns and Gardens, WFLA Orlando, Suite 401, 2500 Maitland Center Parkway, Maitland, Florida, 32751. And I have it posted on our Better Lawns and Gardens website. It's also in this month's newsletter that went out. And so if you need to have it, you can text me or send me an email, or Lizzie, one of the two. And but you can go on Facebook and see it. That's Tom McCubbin, care of Better Lawns and Gardens, WFLA Orlando, Suite 401, 2500, 2500, Maitland Center Parkway, Maitland, Florida, 32751. In lieu of flowers, Tom would like, anyone that would like to, please donate in Joni's name to your favorite charity. We're going to miss Joni's beautiful smile and laughter. Her humor and entertaining wit, which we saw every week here on Better Lawns and Gardens, with her different articles that she would talk about. She was very talented with crafts. She made the most beautiful handcrafted cards. And they were colored, and she made them herself. And I'm telling you, all occasions, but especially at Christmas, I still have every single one of the cards she has sent over the years.
Nice.
And so I think if you have a memory of Joni today and would like to call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. That would be lovely, and I know would be appreciated. So weather this weekend is going to be definitely warmer, great for spring break. North Florida, Central Florida, we're going to have a repeat of last Monday's storms on Sunday and Monday. Be very alert. Have your phone with you all the time. So Jacksonville, Georgia, North Florida, Tallahassee, Gainesville, Pensacola, you want to be prepared for lightning and strong winds and possible tornadoes. It's that cold air hitting the warm air, the tempest. Keep your phones closed for storm warnings and pay attention. After Monday, it's going to be sunny the rest of the week in the high 60s up north in North Florida, mid to high 70s daytime, 40s at night. And the next chance of rain North Florida will get will be next Saturday. For most of Florida, next Saturday is going to be another chance for rain. Central Florida, we're going to have the same weather. You want to be very careful, be alert, have your phone with you so you can get tornado warnings. Our temperatures are going to be in the low 80s, high 70s, 50s at night. It's gardening weather for sure after Monday. South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, Miami, Port St. Lucie, sunny the rest of the week. Temps in the mid 70s and low 80s. Nighttime mid 60s and 70s. Don't think you're going to have that cold front come through. And not if you get rain, it'll be just slight rain. In Key West, rain on Monday and next Saturday. It's going to be mostly sunny all week. It's going to be a lovely week after Sunday, Monday. But I want you to make sure that you are aware, because when that tornado alert goes off, it's quite shocking.
Yeah, and if you're new to Florida, this is just one of those things. And just especially if you're really new to Florida, if all of a sudden you wake up one morning and it is just blech, like hot mouth weather, all of a sudden it was nice and cool, or if it's hot blech weather and all of a sudden an extremely cool cold breeze comes across you, that's not a spirit. look for tornadoes potentially to come. So that's just one of the warning signs. I would rather face a hurricane than have these tornadoes, because it hit down the road here from us and here in Orlando. And I was just like, oh, man. So
I had two clients' homes, and an installation we recently did had the storm going over. And my client said, Teresa, it was so surreal to be listening and hear your street address mm-hmm. is right in the path of the tornado.
Yes.
And everything was safe and everybody was safe. So today I'm going to be at Peterson's Nursery. I cannot wait. 11:30, I'm going to speak on design tips for containers. I'd love to see you there. Please come up and let me put a face with your full voice. And if you've been listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, I'd love to meet you. Let me help you select your plants and maybe even design a container for you. We have coming up in the next hour, I'm going to be talking about African violets. I want to give a big shout out to Mid Florida Lakes. I gave a talk there this week, and they did so wonderful. They made their own African violet pots. And I am going to be talking about how to take care and grow your African violets in the next segment. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Young men just don't seem to listen to the radio anymore. They're too busy with their ear pods and TV games.
It's iPods and video games?
Whatever. Point is, young men are probably not listening to me right now, but they will listen to you. So I need you to remind them to register with Selective Service when they turn 18. It's an easy way to keep the door open to important benefits like college loans and government jobs. And it's the law. So please, feel free to remind them to go to sss.gov or any post office to register.
I heard that.
I will be right by your side.
Women can have it all, including heart attacks. But symptoms like jaw pain, nausea, unusual fatigue, dizziness, and backache are often different and more subtle than for a man. The fact is, heart disease is the number one killer of women. Know the signs. Learn more at getheartchecked.org. From Women's Heart Alliance, in partnership with Women Heart.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. Save the Manatee Club has helped to protect imperiled manatees and their aquatic habitat for decades, but there's still more work to be done. Threats from cold weather, red tides, pollution, and boat collisions continue to take their toll on the manatee. So let's work together to safeguard the manatees and the places they call home. Be the friend they need. Visit SaveTheManatee.org. Thank you.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm going to take your phone call this hour, so you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. If you'd like to send a little word to Tom, I'm sure he would appreciate that, and we will make sure he gets them. So this week, I taught a class on how to care for African violets. And African violets are really a wonderful, easy plant. They grow, they're native to East Africa, and they're in that jungle canopy. And so I think I would just be so amazed to walk through a forest in East Africa and see these growing on the ground.
Okay, and they're so soft.
They are. The leaves are so soft. So they are a perennial, or you can call them a houseplant. They are native to East Africa, Tanzania, and Tanzania, and then Kenya. They are for zones 11 and 12, which just shows you you need to make these houseplants, okay, because even temperatures, any temperatures below 60 will damage them. They have red, pink, white, purple, various shades of purple and pink. And then also they have multiple colors on one violet. Quite pretty. They get to be about 6 to 8 inches tall and 6 to 8 inches wide. And spacing, you need to have good air circulation. So you can have them on a tray or in a platter or on a counter, on a windowsill, but you want to make sure they really don't touch each other. You want good air circulation with them. They need filtered light, either from the southeast or west exposure, but you need to keep them about 3 feet away from the window. So they need real filtered light. Okay, they do not need direct sunlight. The soil moisture could be xeric or mesic, and mesic is that good earthworm soil. But you can also have equal parts of peat moss, perlite, and vermiculite. Or you can buy African violet soil. They do have a commercial African violet soil. So what kind of pots? There's various pots, and whenever I think of African violets, I now think of Eileen, and she collects them. You want to use either a small clay or ceramic pot with drainage holes in it. And you can also use plastic with drainage holes in it. The African violet roots like to be crowded, but they don't like to be wet. So I'm going to tell you that the reason they die mostly is because they're neglected and not watered at all, or they are overwatered and they rot. Okay, so make sure they have good drainage. When you water them, you can water from the top or the bottom. You just don't want to water with cold water. You want to have water that is room temperature or even slightly warm, just like it would be in a rainfall here in Florida during the summertime. All right. And then you don't want the water to stay on the leaves. Okay, that will start to cause some rot. So to bloom, they need 8 to 12 hours of light and 8 hours of darkness. Okay, again, the temperatures need to be between 65 and 70 degrees. So that's good for indoors, never lower than 60 degrees. So if you do have them on a patio, you need to bring them in the fall and in the wintertime when the temperatures get real cool. They need humidity, okay? So the humidity is important. We have that here in Florida, but not necessarily inside our house, okay? So if you have a humidifier, you don't want to keep them in that room. You want to create some humidity. And the best way to do that is African violets. Place them on the top of a tray of pebbles in water, okay? So you want to have the little platter or the tray have a lip on it that you can pour water into, and then the pot sits on top of the pebbles. Room temperatures, and you want to water whenever the soil feels dry. Do not allow the pot, though, to sit in water. So if you water it and it's in the bottom of the bowl, you want to then make sure that you empty it out. Now, there's also self-watering bowls and plastic pots that are self-watering. They keep the water in the basin where it doesn't touch the roots, and you can put a wick in it and it can wick up the water. And that's very easy to do. Okay, you want to make sure that it has access to that wick. And you can get this with, you can go to the nurseries and get any kind of wicking strings. You can go to Michael's and get it. A little rope that's probably thicker or just as thick as your shoelaces.
Okay, yes.
Okay. And so fertilizing, you want to make sure that the plant's hydrated, okay, so that it's had enough water. 20-20-20 or 15-30-15. But you don't want to use the liquid fertilizer full strength.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you want to dilute it by a quarter. So let's say it needs, I'm just going to pull it out. Don't do this. A cup of water for each fertilizer.
Right.
Okay, you want to mix it in with that water. You only want to mix it, the fertilizer, to the amount of a quarter of the amount that you would pour into it.
Okay, so say it asks for a full, a tablespoon.
Boom. Then you do a quarter of a tablespoon. Yes. Okay. And then you do that every time you water, okay. And that'll be good. Okay, so do not let the violet stems touch the trim on the pot, the rim on the pot. You want to have the leaves going upright. So you want to place something that's a little bit of mulch underneath the leaves to lift it up. Okay? And insects and disease issues, only when they're stressed out, they're not in the right conditions. Okay? So if it's overwatering, it's going to get fungal rot.
Okay.
And just let it dry out. You may get, with overwatering, fungus gnats. And we're going to have Heather Stickney with Summit Responsible Solutions on today. And they have wonderful, wonderful solutions for fungal gnats. And we'll talk about that. You can use insecticidal soap for the plant, but just make sure that you spray it and it dries off. And so there should be little to no pest problems. Now, I brought in two for Lizzie today. And one has totally green leaves. And do you see the other leaf? And it's got white all along the rims and throughout the leaf.
Yes.
And it kind of looks like a disease issue.
Yeah, it looks more like a splatter paint issue.
Yeah,
I love this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it looks like maybe a little bleach on the side, but that's the normal color for variegated leaves.
Oh.
So it's really wonderful to see. It's quite a variation. And you're going to get addicted to collecting African violets.
I possibly will, yes. These are very gorgeous. Thank you for thinking of me. And I'm excited to take care of them. So, yeah, I'll catch you when we're off air of a little bit more guidance because
they have a little bit of broken leaves. Now, so the broken leaves, they were shipped. So some of them have broken leaves. But you don't want to throw those leaves away because you can take them, and that stem where it's attached to the leaf is called a petiole.
Oh.
P-E-T-I-O-L-E.
Okay.
That should be a better, a dirty word of the day. And 4 to 5 inches long, you can put it in water, and it will root and create a new whole African violet.
Shut the front door.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's wonderful. You want to make sure you want to select a very healthy, good-sized leaf if you want to propagate them yourself, about 2 to 3 inches wide and long. Make sure it's thick and sturdy and has a long stem. So everywhere where you see the stems where they've kind of broken off, you can clip those all the way back.
Okay.
They're not going to grow back new leaves back
gotcha.
From that. Okay. But you go down into the crown of your plant and diagonally snip the petiole about 1 inch where it is attached to the larger plant. You place it in a miniature glass bud vase with water and no need to add anything to the water. And in 3 to 4 weeks, you should see roots coming from the petiole.
Oop.
So that's really easy. And that's when you can plant it. Okay. And so you just want to water gently and just try an African violet, especially for Easter. It's a great gift for upcoming for Easter.
I think it's a good idea. I appreciate you thinking of me, and I'm excited. I can't wait to, you know, propagate this. Is that
there
the proper
go.
Verbiage?
If you Yes, propagate. And so we are going to take your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680.
Yes.
Let's go to the phone.
All right. We have Walter from the Space Coast.
Good morning, Walter. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm just giving you an update on the avocado that blew over during Helene.
Yes.
And amazingly, I went and I got a nice cutting from my friend down in South Rockledge and put that in a bucket. And Jose gave that to his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Geneva. And lo and behold, this tree, which we stood up straight and properly planted everything around it, it is now thriving.
Wonderful.
All on its own without any grafting. And that was what I was calling you about mm-hmm. all those months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to point out that, amazingly enough, why does that happen?
It just depends on the health of the tree, how long it was leaning over. It may have just stimulated it with a little bit of the shock of the roots being pushed over, and it's still growing. But if you took a cutting off of it and it's doing well, that's wonderful. I'm hoping that it will produce fruit, though, immediately. Okay.
It was a huge fruit producer before it blew over,
mm-hmm.
but I went to my friend down in South Rockledge, which was, 12, 15 miles away, and that's where I got the cutting from.
Oh, wonderful. Walter, thank you so much for the update. We certainly appreciate it. We've got a hard break coming up, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And we will be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens and your questions this Saturday morning. This is Where You Are. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You've seen me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every 4 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. There's enough food in this country to feed everyone. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're feeding America. brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress.
A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life. It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty, something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not. It's not about paranoia.
Or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We
trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. If you're a parent and are worried about your child's social and emotional development, you may have asked yourself questions like, am I over-worrying this issue? Are my son's tantrums typical? What if my daughter has a disability? If so, you're not alone. Thankfully, researchers are helping parents answer these questions. In fact, there's a new groundbreaking study on childhood mental health through Duke University. The Autism and Beyond study is aimed to test new video technology that can analyze a child's emotions and behaviors. And this will lead to tools that will eventually determine an earlier diagnosis. Because the early years of a child's development really matter, children with autism and mental health issues can have fruitful lives when they receive that early diagnosis. Would you like to learn more? Then just visit today, disabilitycampaign.org.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case,
my arm is fine.
Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you would like to give us a question, just like Walter called with an update or an update on your garden, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We'd love to hear from you. And we had another Walter in Lake Mary text, and he says, how much can I prune back my 9-foot-tall Tibuchina tree? And can I cut it now? And so he sent a really good photograph, so I was able to see the size of it, how wide it was. And, you know, Walter, thank you for the photograph. You can cut any plant by a third. Now, what I mean by a third is you can cut it by a third of the height, third of the density, or a third of the root system, and it won't stress it out too much. It'll stress, but it won't impact it as much as if you cut it more. So you can cut the height down a third, cut it down by 2 to 3 feet, and it will be just fine. So thank you for that question. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Christine sent in a photo of a tall shrub for identification. She thought it was a podocarpus, but it had red flowers. Can anyone think of what that would be? A tall shrub with red flowers, and it's not a hibiscus.
Bougainvillea?
Yeah, that's a good thought, but no, it's not.
But no.
No. It is a bottle brush, and they are using the bottle brush instead of as a tree, as a hedge.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And it's really pretty, and it gives you a lot of privacy in the heights there because it can get to be, 11, 12, 14, 15 feet tall. And so it's a really good choice. Callistemon citrinus, and it's native to Australia, which means on one hand, it's very drought tolerant, that it doesn't like a lot of water. It will grow well in sand. And it provides habitat for birds, but also the flowers are attract hummingbirds.
Ooh.
So that's nice. And so, that's a great great hedge, Christine. Thank you for asking what it was. So Anne asked on our Facebook page, I'm buying a house that has 3 Bismarck palms, about 5 feet tall. I'd like to relocate 2 of them. How do they take replanting, and is there a good time to do it? And she said, thank you. Love the Saturday show. Well, and we love you listening in. So that's a great question. I love the height because it's going to make it really easy to move because Bismarcks can get 20 feet tall. So it's a good time to move them now. Springtime is very good, and they'll be relatively easy. They don't have a large root ball, so their size is very conducive to moving. So go down about 2 feet all the way around, and you don't need to root prune because there's not a root ball there. There's not very many roots. Have the hole dug before you transplant them, fill it with water, and then put your plant, your palm tree in it, and then fill the hole back up. And so I wouldn't water it too much. I would just say once a day for the first week, and then once every 2 days the second week. And then you're on that schedule of twice a week watering. And then once you see new growth, Anne, once you see it putting out a new frond, then I would go ahead and fertilize it, okay? So that's a really, really great question. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680, and we would love to hear from you. If you have any, problems with your plants, you can send us a picture to my email address, teresa.watkins@live.com, or you can go to betterlawns.com, and you can upload a photo there. And that's the important part. I need to kind of see it before I can tell you exactly what the problem is. Most times I can tell you, but unless I see it, I can't be real sure.
Yeah, kind of step back and get a good picture so that the item that you're asking, the plant, whatever that you're asking, or tree, is fully in the picture. And then step up close. Put your glasses on. And I'm only saying that because I've done this to Teresa before. And I go, ooh, look, and you get a close-up picture. But, if you pull your camera back just maybe an inch, it'll refocus itself. And if you have your glasses on. And then those are the two of the best pictures that you can take to send her.
And I can widen it up. So once you got a good shot, then I can blow it up a little bit.
And she the reason why she needs to see the area, because she needs to see, if there's something affecting the plant, or it could be, maybe, there's just so many things.
Maybe planted too deep. Mm-hmm. It could, not be, have too much mulch on it. There's a lot of different reasons for seeing the whole picture. You want to see what's going on there. And so I would love to see that. So Kathy is a listener. She said, my tomato plants were doing good and then developed yellow leaves at the bottom. She's how much are you watering? So I had some questions for her, so I asked her how much she was watering and at what time of the day. She's watering 15 minutes twice a week at 4 a.m. And it's only the tomato plants. The lettuce, sugar snap, peas, peppers, and Brussels sprouts are all fine. Okay, so I would suggest that the tomato plant, you go ahead and pull those leaves off so that they're maybe closer to the ground and staying a little wet and damp, especially if you're watering at 4 a.m. I kind of would like you to move it up to 5, 6 a.m. so that the plants aren't wet for longer than 5 hours. Okay, it's not good to water at night. It can cause disease issues if the plant is wet for more than 5 hours. So we don't want to water late in the afternoon going into night, and you want to water between 5 and 6 a.m. all the way up through 10 a.m. It does not hurt to water a plant in full sun with, in 10 o'clock during the day. Now, after that, it's just not, the reason we ask you not to water after 10 a.m., because it's not efficient, okay? It's going to evaporate before the plant can use it, and that's a waste of water, okay? It's not because the water is going to burn the leaves or anything else. I mean, it rains during the day, and the plants don't get burned.
I know. I never really understood that. It's like almost like a wife's tale, but maybe a myth, maybe just a rumor, maybe
it
a
is.
Lie.
It's
I've been told my whole life, don't water during the day because you'll burn your plants. I'm
yeah,
like,
eh. No, not really. And because we water, I mean, we get rain during the day, and it doesn't happen. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
For too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle, made possible by volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible for thousands of families. Who will you march for?
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that?
A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this week is edible plants that children should grow. Peppers is my number one. Colorful fruit, nutritious. They can see it change from green to yellow to red. And it'll be a lot of fun for them. And then they can eat them raw, too, right from the plant. Everglades tomato is my second one. Small cherry tomatoes that taste so good. Great way for the kids to eat them right off the vine. And they produce cherry tomatoes all year round. They're delicious. They're very, very tiny. Pole beans is another one. And this is a fun project where you can make a little tripod with bamboo or some gardening stakes. And you can trail the pole beans up and even make it into a little tent for the kids to go in under and sit underneath. Okra. Okra is a beautiful plant in the garden, in your landscape, and it's got beautiful yellow flowers, and you can eat the fruit, and it's good for breakfast. So very nutritious okra. And then microgreens. Microgreens are fast-growing and a quick harvest, allows the children to harvest with little scissors, and you can just keep harvesting over and over again. So that is my top five. You can go to my blog page in your backyard on my website, and you can catch all of those. That'll be good. Let's go to Beverly in Tallahassee. Good morning, Beverly. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great.
I just wanted to say something about Tom and Joni.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I listened to the show for years and years, and it was always so much fun. Joni always, every week, she had a little essay, and she always had little quips that she embellished Tom's information with, you know, and she had just this elfish laugh, you know. She was just so much fun, and I not to put Tom down, but she had so much to the show. And
she did.
I met her once when they came to Tallahassee, and she gave me several of her cards, and they were blank, so I could use them for other people. And Tom and I sort of developed a mutual admiration society over the years. You know, after he left the show, we stayed in touch.
Yes.
And I can tell you, never did a man love a woman more than he loved Joni.
I know.
And I just want him to know that my heart is broken for him.
There you go, hon. I certainly appreciate
it. And Tom will be in my heart as long as I live, and I'm so, so sorry.
Thank you, Beverly.
Okay.
That was so sweet, hon. You call back, hon. You take care. Thank you for calling in. That's true. So if you missed the first part of the show, Joni McCubbin, Tom McCubbin's wife, and cohort here on cohort.
Partner. Yes.
There you go.
100%.
Partner here on Better Lawns and Gardens for over 35 years. And she went to all his talks. And they just, it's just really sad. And I appreciate that, Beverly. Thank you so much. We have Alan north of Tallahassee. He's texted, I have some camellias that I want to transplant. What is a good time to transplant them? Okay, Alan, so if they are formosas, which I kind of think they are. No, I'm sorry, camellias. Did I say azaleas?
You know what? Go with whatever you want to go with.
Alan has camellias, not azaleas. So after they finish blooming, if they still got flowers on them, you can keep them until after they finish blooming, but that's when I would go ahead and transplant them. And then, so right now, if they're early bloomers and they don't have any blooms on the plant, go ahead and move it now. And, you can root prune them depending on what size they are, or just pop them up with a good root ball and transplant them. Okay. Fertilize after they produce new growth. Okay, you don't want to do it while you're transplanting. Thank you, Alan, for the text. And so then I have JAC in Cocoa Beach, and he says, what is the best to use on potted and in bed cherry tomatoes and okra? And he gave me like three different types of slow release fertilizers. And those are all fine, JAC. I like the one that has more nutrients in it so that you can micronutrients. That will be the best one to use. All right. And this JAC says he's already using Black Cow, and we love that. That's perfect. And so any type of slow release fertilizer for your vegetables, including micronutrients, would be good. So all of those are fine. They're all about the same analysis and last about the same amount of time. So good question, JAC. That's wonderful. So we are going to, in the next hour, we're going to be talking about Florida's number one pest issue in the state, outdoors. And we have spring break coming up. You're going to want to be outside with your kids. And we've got some really good solutions for that.
Yes. And go ahead and text us now your questions for Summit Responsible Solutions at 23680. And then we may be able to slip the questions in as quickly as we can. So, yeah, text
them. That would
be
nice. Let me just repeat. I've got just a few minutes here. If you would like to send a card to Tom McCubbin, you can send it to Better Lawns and Gardens, WFLA Orlando, Suite 401, 2500 Maitland Center Parkway, Maitland, Florida, 32751. So,
and if you're unsure of the address, if you'll just search iHeartRadio Maitland, Florida, or even Orlando, Florida, it will give you this Maitland address. We're on the fourth floor, but I think that if you put show afterwards, if you can't remember anything but Better Lawns and Gardens show as the title, then they will know to bring it up to the fourth floor.
Right. I know Tom would appreciate that. That'll be sweet. So I think, who is it? J.A. said, oh, no, I'm sorry, Alan. Alan with the camellias said the blooms are dying down right now, so they're not quite done. Okay, so, you know, between, I would say, Alan, if you want, I'm sorry, is it Alan? Yes, Alan. If you want to do it right around May and then the rains will kick in, that would be great, okay? And that will be fine. We're going to go through, we still have spring coming, March 20th, and springtime is usually dry for us. So if you don't have irrigation, I would wait for the rainy season. Do it before June, though, because we want to make sure that they start producing blooms after the month of June. Okay, that would be great. 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, we'd love to hear from you. And then also, too, let's see. Come see me today at Peterson's Nursery. Howie's listening. Good morning, Howie. I will be there this morning talking about containers, design tips for containers. And I love that talk, and I'll have handouts. I'd love to meet anyone who's in the area, and we can talk gardening geekish stuff. And I can walk around the nursery with you and help you buy plants and select the right plant for your yard. I'd love to do that. And that'll be a fun. I will be there at speaking at 11:30. And if you'd like to join me on an exciting tour of the 2025 Newport Flower Show, its theme this year is a floral fair, and it is going to shine at the Rosecliff Home Mansion, establishing entertaining and vibrant themes, artandbloomgardentours.com. If you're interested, we're going June 19th through June 23rd. Just have a couple of more spots left. And so, Rosecliff, inside the elegant home, you're going to be transported back to the Gilded Age. I'm telling you, these homes, these mansions, Newport mansions, are amazing. We're going to be going through those and seeing the flower show. And then also, too, we're going to be going to Niagara Falls in Canada and seeing the Royal Botanical Gardens and lots of private gardens. And it's just going to be wonderful. artandbloomgardentours.com. Or you can email me for more information. You can go to the website and see all of the tours that we're planning this year. And I'd love for you to come with me and join me, and we can talk about gardens.
Yes, I love that you're doing that. I'm super excited, you know, because you always give us a recap. And that to me is just as much fun. So, yeah. And you can go on the website there and find out the costs for all that and get signed up for that.
There you go. We're going to be back with Heather Stickney, the Summit Responsible Solutions. She is the managing plant sales manager, and she has some really, really great suggestions. If you're new to Florida and you want to know how to stop Florida's number one pest out there, she'll have the answers. We're going to talk to Heather Stickney in the next hour, and we're going to be taking your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to send cards, you can go to our Facebook page. I have it pinned at the top, the address that you can send it to. And we would love to hear from you. Any memories will be just so appreciated.
Yes, most definitely.
And so if it's Saturday morning. Nope, not yet. We've got a few more minutes.
It's still Saturday morning.
It's still Saturday morning. It is.
Yes,
I'm tired. We're tired. You know, we still haven't gotten over the 1 hour spring fall back or spring ahead.
Well, you know, it also included with that, for those that weren't here in Central Florida by the studio, just like literally a mile up the road, we had a tornado hit. And
yes.
So
we want to be prepared. It's going to happen again on Monday.
Yes.
Yeah,
pay attention, set your alerts so that actually alerts you, because these will come, tornadoes will come out of nowhere. We literally were.
Mm-hmm. There you go. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
For too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle, made possible by volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible for thousands of families. Who will you march for?